National Football League.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Football Absurdity Podcast. This is the Baker's Dozen episode, episode 13. I'm here, Jeff Crisco, as always. I'm here with my co-host, Mike Valverde. Mike, you ready for some football?
Oh, yeah, man. I'm telling you, I'm so excited. Only a couple days away.
And it's tomorrow.
Or tomorrow, you're
not
right.
Not even a couple days away. Or when a lot of people are listening to this, it's today. Eagles and Falcons.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, are you? Who do you think is going to take that one?
Ooh, that's going to be a tough one. You know, with Nick Foles starting, I'm going to go with Atlanta. I think Atlanta's offense is just going to be just a little too much.
I think so too. That's where I'm going. That's where I'm going for that one too. It's not going to be that great for Philly fans, but that's okay. You know, if they're going to lose one of the last two games they've played, I think they'll take this one instead of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, for sure.
So right now, before week one, we have a little bit of a dead period. So what Mike and I are going to do today is we're just going to talk a little bit about what we're looking for in each game this weekend, what we're watching for. We spent the last 9 months since the Super Bowl. Scores. Just really sitting, thinking, staring at depth charts and trying to formulate some sort of thought about the NFL season. And now it's here. So we got to take a look at what all of our research and data mining and all that stuff, what that's wrought. If where we were right, where we were wrong, where certain 50-50 things end up falling. But first, Mike, we would be remiss if we didn't talk about the biggest story in the NFL right now, Le'Veon Bell.
Yep.
Not going to report. What do you think of that whole situation?
Wow, I'm kind of surprised that he hasn't reported yet. It's kind of just one of those situations where you keep thinking he's going to show up and he's going to show up and he's going to show up, and then now as you said, tomorrow's the game, the first game of the week one season, and he hasn't showed up yet, and I don't know if he's going to. I mean, he could hold out for 10 games,
yep,
and still get paid. So even though he'll lose his weekly contracts, he'll still can log in a season. So I don't know. This is the craziest thing since Emmitt Smith held out, what was it, 3 or 4 weeks as a Cowboy. So
And not to the same talent level, but I remember – I want to say six, seven years ago, Vincent Jackson did the same thing. He didn't play till he held out all the games until he had to come back to get his year of eligibility.
Yeah. And I could see Le'Veon doing the same thing. I really could. It's a total up in the air situation. Flip a coin and whatever it lands on is probably either the right or the wrong answer, but it's really 50-50 up to at this point.
Yeah, I lost you there for a second, but it sounded like you said it's 50-50. I've heard a couple takes on it. I heard the take that we had, and then I heard Ross Tucker, former NFL player. He was saying that if Le'Veon Bell does the smart thing, he's trying to limit the reps on his body and maximize the amount of money he'll just report on Saturday. And that way there's no way Mike Tomlin plays him in week one and he still gets, 16 game checks out of it.
While
only playing 15 games. So smart people have already picked up James Conner. If you haven't done that yet, go stop listening to our nonsense. Go pick him up right now, because it's possible you could have a weekly running back two on your hands for the first 10 weeks of your season for free. Just pluck that bad boy off the waiver wire. But honestly, you should have already done that, right?
These kind of players, Le'Veon, especially knowing up to your draft that he hasn't shown up yet, you definitely need to handcuff him. And if you haven't done so, then you definitely need to pick him up, because as we were saying, we don't know how long he's going to hold out.
Yeah, I mean, it could be a a big long wait for the guy that was going, you know, some people had him as the number one overall pick in some formats. Not me. Certain forward thinkers like myself had him as the fourth running back out of the big four. People said I was crazy, but this is why. Yeah. The consensus rankings on the website, he's number two, but Waleed, Kevin, and Evan all had him at two. I had him at four out of the big four. So I don't know. That's a Nick in the Jeff column right now. So
yeah, that is a really good call. Yeah, yeah. I had him at number one.
This whole holdout thing just loomed over everything, because he held out last year and was no good out of the gate against the Browns and kind of took a little bit to get rolling. So, you know, when you're up there at the top, I think we talked about it, you're splitting hairs. You're talking, you know, even knocking it from 16 weeks of production down to 15 is enough for me to put him behind the other three guys. Because he's behind the eight ball right out of the bat.
Yeah, exactly. And if you're missing two games, you're just even two games, you're really suffering point wise. So yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you think of it like this. So the NFL fantasy football regular season for most leagues is if you're playing in week 16, your playoffs are either 2 or 3 weeks. So that means you're looking at 13 or 14 games during the regular season. You're going to miss a player for one game for their bye week. If you're missing them for two more, if you're playing in a playoff with where six or eight people make it, 3 out of 13 weeks is almost 25% of your regular season. It's 23%. So that was enough to knock him behind the other guys, even though pure talent, he probably deserves to be one or two, depending on who you ask.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, just based on talent, number one, I don't see anybody else. I mean, David Johnson, maybe, but yeah, pure talent at Le'Veon.
Yeah, so there you go. So today what we're going to be doing is we're going to just take a step back. We're going to be, there's not a lot left to talk about. We're going into week one. All the drafts should be done, considering that the games literally start less than 24 hours from now. Yeah. So get your drafts in if you haven't yet. So we're just going to take a look at each game, just talk a little bit about it, just say, what are we looking for? What do we want to see in this first game? What are we watching for? You know, on Monday morning at work when we're trying to do anything else but work, what are we going to be looking through box scores, watching highlights for? So Mike and I divvied it up. Mike's going to take the AFC home games so we can talk about his Colts. And I'll be taking the NFC home games this week. So I can talk about my Niners also so that I can go first. So we'll start off with the first game of the NFL season. No better place to start than with the Eagles hosting the Falcons. It'll be the big Thursday night football Super Bowl champion display extravaganza. There's a whole pregame thing. It's a whole to do because the NFL season is back. It's the kickoff party. On this one, I'm actually watching for one thing on the Eagles, one thing on the Falcons. There's not a lot you can get out of the Eagles passing game right now because no Alshon Jeffrey, no Carson Wentz. So I'm setting that aside. What I want to see is how do they split up that backfield, because they've got the big ones are Jay Ajayi, Corey Clement, and Darren Sproles. What do their usages look like? Because if it's a huge mess, the Jay Ajayi owners, which I am in a couple leagues, aren't going to be very happy with that. On the flip side, the Falcons, I'm looking at what Matt Ryan looks like. This is a hard first test for him because that stout Eagles defense, that, you know, literally Super Bowl champion level defense. But he's got to bounce back from last year. I talked about how I think he is going to bounce back, but this is a really difficult first test for him, I think.
Yeah, totally. And bouncing back is what's going to be key here in this whole situation.
Exactly. Yeah. It's as he goes, the whole rest of the offense will go. So after that Thursday night game, you know, everybody gets Friday, Saturday to get hungry for football again. It's a nice little appetizer. And then 10 a.m. Eastern or 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, we get a whole slate of games, a whole mess of them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of them to really start sinking our teeth into. First one we'll talk about today is the Bills at the Ravens. Mike, what are you looking for in this matchup against Joe Flacco and what might be his last stand, and Nathan Peterman keeping the seat warm for Josh Allen?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Nate Peterman is our starting quarterback for the Buffalo Bills.
Ooh, buddy.
Wow. You know, so this game is probably going to be one of the lowest scoring games of the afternoon. The Vegas odds have them at 40 points total. And so, yeah, it's just going to be a really – you're looking at two bad offenses. I want to be positive, but Bills and Ravens is just not much positivity going through. So your starters are going to be not, you know, Michael Crabtree, those kind of guys against the Bills defense is not going to do much. And then you have the Bills offense, LeSean McCoy against that stout Ravens defense. Ravens are favored by 7.5 points, so you're probably going to be definitely favoring your fantasy football squad towards the Ravens over the Bills. Points? Yeah, I'm hoping for points.
Points. That's what you're looking for. What one player are you going to be watching for the results from that game? Is it sleeper Smokey Brown? Is it, you know, Shady? What did Shady do? Who are you looking at in that game on Monday morning?
Yeah, you know, I'd like to see how Shady does against that Ravens defense. If he can come out and be the McCoy of last year, then you're going to see probably a good season out of him, especially since right now the NFL has pretty much cleared him of, you know, he can still get suspended come halfway through the season, but as of right now, he's cleared up to, I think, week 8 or 10 or something to that effect. So if he can play well against this tough Ravens defense, then you got a probably a good player at a really cheap price.
Yeah, if he can overcome the decimation of the Bills offensive line, his talent will win out over situation.
As you mentioned last week, Incognito and Cordy Glenn are both elsewhere.
So, yeah.
It's brutal.
Yeah, and I forgot, too, another offensive lineman of theirs retired. I think it's last name Wood. He's gone, too. So it's three new guys along the line. It's a total disaster. Who knows how that's going to sort out. Mike's discussion of the Ravens is perfect. They are going to be so boring. There's not much to watch for there. Alex Collins, maybe? I don't know. Another 10 a.m. game that we'll be watching out for will be the Jaguars being hosted by the New York Giants. We got Saquon Barkley's debut. And that's the easy one. Hey, what's the number two overall pick going to look like? The highest drafted guy that's likely to play this weekend. That's the easy. What am I watching for? Picked him up in a dynasty league last night, had a startup draft. So I'm pretty excited about that. But what I'm really watching for is what does this Jags offense look like? Like, what does Blake Bortles do? Cause this will be the first time in his career that he won't have Marquise Lee, Allen Robinson, or Allen Hurns on the field. It's a completely different wide receiver group than he's used to. It's Dante Moncrief, Keelan Cole, D.D. Westbrook, just this whole mess of new players that in the wake of Marquise Lee's knee injury that put him out for the season, we got to look in there and mine for value to see what guys we want to have on your roster for what reasons, who's a wide receiver three, who's a flex, who goes back to the waiver wire. I think that's all there really is to look at this game. I mean, you can see the Giants bouncing back, but a lot like Matt Ryan and the Eagles, this is a hard first test for the new look Giants with all the weapons around Eli Manning. Cause these Jags, I mean, they might have the best defense in the NFL this year.
Yeah. That defense, Definitely is that there is in Minnesota is going to be an interesting to see who finishes one and two there.
Yeah, so it's one of those things where you can't bench Odell Beckham, you can't bench Saquon Barkley. I mean, it takes some cojones to bench either one of those guys, but everybody else kind of wait and see. I don't think anybody drafted Sterling Shepard to be a starter. Evan Engram is another guy you don't have much choice about, but Eli, a lot of people talking Eli breakout, maybe pump the brakes on that one for week one.
Yeah, I don't see Eli breaking out even so. And then definitely you're going to be pumping in their brakes against that Jaguars defense.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just stay away. Stay away as much as you can. So another team that is looking like the Jags to hopefully make a deep run in the playoffs this year, New Orleans Saints. They're going to be hosting a division rival, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. There's really two questions on my mind for this matchup on in terms of the offense, because a lot like the Eagles, you can't really tell what's going on with this offense because Ryan Fitzpatrick, or with the Bucks offense, because Ryan Fitzpatrick's gonna be starting the first four games. He's keeping the seat warm for Jameis while he's on a suspension. So my two questions that I wrote down for this one was, the first one is Ronald Jones really this bad? Like he can't be this bad. I think it was 22 carries for 28 yards. Like if he had stopped at the line of scrimmage and just like fallen forward, I mean, he's 6 feet tall. That's 2 yards a carry right there. So if he just fallen forward, he would have done better than he did. So what I'm going to be looking at is Ronald Jones really this bad? Because Peyton Barber's getting the first crack at the offense, but I mean, Jones is going to get split in there. I figure he'll probably get 8 to 10 carries, two to three targets, but that's probably it for him. As for the Saints side, I'm really wondering what are these first four weeks going to look at without Mark Ingram?
Right. Yeah.
Mike Gillisley got signed. So is he going to take a bunch of stuff? Is Alvin Kamara going to jump up to an 18 touch a game guy? Like, who knows? That's what I want to see on that side too, as a very deeply invested Alvin Kamara owner.
You know, what Kamara has the size and the weight to be a full-time back.
Oh yeah.
He's like totally small. I mean, as far as visual, do you think he's capable of doing it, or do you think he's going to fall apart?
Oh, I think he can do it. I was actually, yeah, like you said, he's small visually, but he's a beefy guy. I mean, he's 5'10", 215. So he's a little short, but he's not, you know, he's not a Matt Breida out there. He's got 25 pounds on Matt Breida, who's going to snap in half this weekend. That little preview of my question about Niners Vikings. But I think he can do it. I mean, he didn't get, I don't think last year he had more than like 12 carries in a game. But that's just because that's not how they use him. That doesn't mean that's not how they can use him. Because yeah, his highest carries were 12 at Buffalo last year. But guess what? He had 106 yards on 12 carries. It's one of the things where he's so effective with limited carries that he doesn't really need them. But I mean, his game is receiving. He got 5 or more targets in 13 games last year. Like those are high-end wide receiver two numbers.
Yeah, and yeah, he's definitely going to be up there in the 75-80 catch range every year he plays. There's, yeah. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Yeah, with the Ingram suspension this year, and if they do kind of do what I think they might do, which is put Ingram in the doghouse and keep Gillisley as the number two to Kamara's number one. Gillisley's not a pass catching back. He could end up, he being Kamara, could legitimately end up with 100 catches this year. Just because I don't think Sean Payton likes Mark Ingram.
You sure don't appear that way.
Yeah. He looks for any excuse to put him in the doghouse in a 4-game PED suspension. Woo, baby. That's bad stuff. So that's what I'm looking for in that NFC South tilt. So we'll move on to another 10 a.m. game. The Houston Texans travel to Foxborough for what might be the last first game of Tom Brady's career. This might be his last first game. He says he wants to play 5 more years. I think personally he gets one more title and he bounces. So this could, this could be the last time we see Tom Brady on opening day. I don't know. So, Mike, what are you looking for? What are you watching for in Texans at Patriots this weekend?
Well, you know, what's interesting is that my first game was Bills and Ravens, and they're not going to score any points. And now the biggest game that's going to be probably the biggest, most points scored all weekend in the Texans and Patriots. So, I hate the Patriots. I hate them. But
do you know who doesn't hate the Patriots?
Who?
Patriots fans. That's it.
I hope so, because gosh, what we have here is a lot of offense, and of course everybody's going to go off. And Nuke is going to go off, Watson, you name it, I would put him in there. So Brady, it's just going to be, I mean, the line is 51 points. So it's going to be a blowout. So maybe I'll be hoping for some defense. Maybe that'll be something to be looking forward to. But if you have a fantasy player on your roster that's either a Texan or Patriot, you got to go and play them, because this is going to be one of those games where you're hoping you have players on both teams.
Yeah, it's what Adam Azer on CBS calls bonanza.
Total
fantasy point bonanza. Question for you. Okay. Sure. So other than Rob Gronkowski, who has the most targets on the Patriots this weekend? Is it Chris Hogan? Is it Rex Burkhead? Is it James White? Is it Cordarrelle Patterson? I don't think it's that one.
Seemed to make the cut that was a veteran coming onto the team from this year.
I know. It's him. On cutdown day, there were literally three wide receivers on the roster. Hogan, Dorsett, and Cordarrelle Patterson. That was it. There was literally three. So it'll be interesting. But who do you think is second in targets this weekend? Because Gronk's going to get like 10, 11 targets. But other than that.
Yeah, you know, I think if Gronk is going to be the target man, which I don't dispute, I think Hogan is going to be number two, or White. It all depends on underneath routes and if Brady is just in dump off mode, which he very well could be, depending on the score of the game. If they keep it close, I'm going to go with Hogan. If it's a blowout, I'll probably go with James White.
No love for Rex Burkhead, huh?
Nah.
That's not what I want to hear. I haven't. You want to rethink what you think so I can feel better about starting in my flex this weekend?
I'll tell you off the air.
Okay. So I need that mic seal of approval to put Rex Burkhead in there.
Yeah.
So what? Okay. All right. Over under, because he's coming back from a knee injury. Over under rushing yards for Deshaun Watson. We'll go 40. Over or under? What do you think?
I'll go under.
Under?
I don't see him rushing more than, say, 27.
Okay. Because what I saw was, Bill Belichick does the, all right, this is what you do well. I'm going to make sure you can't do that. So I figured he would have sold out to stopping the passing game, the receivers, and that would leave Deshaun Watson do some scramble drills. But you think that they might scheme him to protect him? Tell him, hey, don't run. Maybe dump it off. We'll have Lamar Miller over here in the flat. So if you get in trouble, you can dump it off to him instead of running and getting blown up.
Yeah, I think they're going to be a little cautious at first and then open it up as the season goes on. So with that, yeah. And then as you mentioned with Belichick and his weird scheming defenses that always seem to work out for some reason or another, is always something that they're going to definitely try to keep tabs on him.
Yeah. So, all right. So we are just about 22 minutes into the podcast. We usually try to run about an hour. So we'll spend the next 38 minutes really breaking down the 49ers game coming up right here. Does that sound good to you, Mike?
All 38 minutes, right?
All 38 minutes. We're really going to break it down. We're going to talk about Dante Pettis, Garrett Celek, Raheem Mostert. We're talking about all the Niners players. Nah, not really.
So, I was gonna say good luck.
Yeah. The question on my mind for Vikings hosting the 49ers this weekend, there is the what does Kirk Cousins look like in Minnesota thing, but I think that's less intriguing than what the heck is going on with the 49ers backfield, because Jerick McKinnon tore his ACL last week. Rest in peace, Jerick. We'll see you next year. Already a 49ers great with his like four carries in the preseason. But now we've got Matt Breida, who tiny guy, played three snaps before he sprained his shoulder and was out for the entire preseason. He did it on a pass block. Or Alfred Morris. Early reports are Breida is getting the first team reps, but he got what happened, the beat writer report, he got the first snap with the first team, then Alf got the second snap. And they were alternating a little bit. Also report that, I mean, Alfred Morris just joined this team. He was supposed to be a camp body. He's not fully up on the playbook yet. I mean, he knows a lot of it from him and Shanahan in Washington, but I think personally, Breida is going to get more carries and everything, more opportunity week one. Morris is going to be the guy that you're going to want to own in San Francisco. People want to say, oh, well, Matt Breida is a receiving back. Well, no, you're saying that because he's small. Matt Breida has very bad hands. I think he had 12 catches in college. He caught like 55% of his passes last year. Maybe it was 58%. He's not a good receiving back. That's Kyle Juszczyk. But Juszczyk's not going to get the volume to be fantasy useful. So really what you're looking for is who's going to get more of the rushing. Personally, if Breida gets more than, we'll say, 15 rushes in a game, more than two games in a row, he's going to almost quite literally break in half. So personally, we're going to see how it shakes out. But I think Alf's the guy to own there in San Francisco. And that's what I'll be watching for in my throwback Jimmy G jersey on Sunday.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I definitely think that it's going to be Breida just because of last year and those kind of things, where Alf is,
he's a bigger, better back is all it comes down to. Like, Breida's younger. That's all the things people I see stumping for Breida. Well, are you going to take the 23-year-old or the guy who's almost 30? It's like, well, if the guy who's almost 23 sucks, or who's 23 sucks compared to the guy who's almost 30, you take the guy who's almost 30. I mean, the exactly. Niners cut a guy they drafted ahead of Matt Breida to get Alfred Morris on the roster. So it's like, tell me again how the age plays into this. Cause the Niners cut Joe Williams, cause Joe Williams sucks. Everybody had a collective fog about Joe Williams last year. Cause there was the Monday Morning Quarterback article where Kyle Shanahan pounded the table for him. And then all he does is run in straight lines. He doesn't cut or anything. But anyways, that's been Niners chat. We'll see you again next week for Niners chat. But for now, we'll talk. The most exciting game of the weekend. Full of fantasy options. I mean, you said that Texans-Patriots is going to be the most exciting high-flying game, but I don't know. Titans-Dolphins? I think that might be a huge game.
Yeah, that's going to be so exciting. I mean, we're going to have to buckle our seatbelts and just keep ourselves in from all the excitement that's going to happen.
Oh, yeah, baby. It's going to be an instant classic.
Yeah. It's going to be played over and over again on the NFL channel. The one thing that I'm looking in this game is to see how good Derrick Henry is and how good Drake is. That's really the only two things that I'm looking forward out of this game is those two running backs. And we'll see exactly how the season is sort of going to be playing out. If Henry against the Dolphins' mediocre defense can run and play like everybody was hoping he can, then maybe Derrick Henry is going to be somebody. I think not. I think he may have a good game against the Dolphins, but I really don't believe he's fantasy relevant. I think the only league that I would hold him in is Dynasty, and I would be trying to get rid of him as we speak. And then Drake.
Wait, what?
Oh yeah. I mean, he holds value in Dynasty, but I don't think he's gonna be talented. And if he flames out this year, then what's his worth? You know what I'm saying?
I'm sorry. You're talking about Derrick Henry?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I mean, I'm speechless. I don't know what to say. I wish I'd known you didn't like Derrick Henry so much during the offseason. We could have had some good good discussions about it, but you got me on my heels.
Yeah, I haven't been a Derrick Henry supporter since he exited college. I've always thought that he was just too slow to play in the NFL.
Well, I don't think he's as good as people say, but I mean, you're fitting him for a blue shirt to go work at Best Buy next year with what you're saying.
I wouldn't go that far, but definitely I would definitely get rid of him if I had him on my dynasty team. There's no doubt about that.
All right, question for you. Derrick Henry. So, do you think that he's a you think he works in like personal computers, or is he more like is he selling refrigerators, or is he the guy in with the video games? Where do you think Derrick Henry's working at Best Buy?
You know, I think refrigerators. That way he can sort of use his muscles. And
he can just lift them up himself instead of using a pallet jack.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. <Wow. laughs>
Side story. I almost died when I worked at Best Buy. That's fun.
Well, holy hell. I didn't.
I worked at Best Buy back in 2003, back when TVs were huge. Uh-huh. And I was an inventory guy. So when you ordered a TV, you know, the guy that would bring your TV out on the hand cart, that was me. And we're supposed to do all these safety things because they're about 9 feet in the air and they weighed about 60, 70 pounds. And there's all the safety equipment that I didn't attach to myself. Uh-huh. And the TV kind of like fell on me and I almost fell off the thing with the TV on top of it from 9 or 10 feet up in the air. So,
oh, God.
Yeah, that's fun stuff. So. This has been Best Buy Chat. Derrick Henry would not have that problem. He'd use every piece of safety equipment. He would be smart.
I don't know. The way he picks holes, that might be debatable.
Yeah, that's true. All right, fine. Fair enough. So anybody else in this game you want to talk about after our Best Buy tangent there?
No. Now we just need to get Best Buy to sponsor our podcast, and we'll definitely be in business.
Yes, please. Best Buy. Their motto is electronic stuff. You can get it here.
There you go.
There's your motto. So, all right. So I wanted to spend 38 minutes on the Niners, but I had to carve out some time because for Best Buy chat, I mean, we are sponsored by Best Buy. Get electronics here. But we'll spend the rest of the time because I didn't want to be unfair, but you can talk about Bengals at your Colts. I think we know what everybody's going to be watching in this game, but what are you looking for in this one?
Yeah, definitely. The big story, of course, is Andrew Luck. Mm-hmm. So
no, I was saying everybody's looking at to see what Andy Dalton's going to do.
Yeah. Is he actually going to be a quarterback this year? We'll find out.
We'll see.
But Andrew Luck is Andrew Luck. Well, he's either going to do it or not. My biggest inquiry about the Colts is how that running back stable is going to sort of form and come together and fit in the offensive scheme. I mean, they have Wilkins and they have Nyheim Hines and they have Marlon Mack and not Robert Turbin this week, but in a few weeks. And so I'm just sort of interested to see how that all forms out. As far as the Bengals are concerned, I like to see John Ross stay healthy. I think he's such a dynamic player that it'd be fun to watch him just do the things that he can do. But of course, he has to stay healthy. So John Ross and the running back stable in Indianapolis are the two things that I'm definitely looking forward to.
Yeah, that running back stable in India, it gives me feelings like the Washington one when Alfred Morris sort of popped up his rookie year, because there was a whole mess of backs there, and when he popped up, he we probably should have seen that coming. And I feel like whoever it is this weekend, if it's Hines or Wilkins or I don't think Mac's playing this weekend, is he?
You know, I don't know if he's been ruled out or not, but there's a potential he's playing or he's not. I'm not 100% sure, actually.
Let's find out. While I find this out, here's another advertisement from Best Buy. You like, Hey, have you ever heard of televisions? They've got them.
They got them.
They got them. Remotes for that television. They got them. All right, this vamping isn't working. It's going too. My computer is going too slow. Let's see, Marlon Mack. There's no news right now. All right, so it's still up in the air. So it could be Marlon Mack, Nyheim Hines, Jordan Wilkins. Whoever comes out of this, it's like, I feel like whoever it is, we'll go, yeah, I probably should have seen that coming. I just have that feeling about it, but it's, I don't know who to put the chips on. So do you know what I did?
What's that?
I took my chips and I went to another table because I wasn't sure which one to put it on. I have no investment in that Colts running game. Just none whatsoever.
You know, if I have to pick one player in that Colts offense, that running back, I'm going to go with Jordan Wilkins.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably the right call. I just think it's so crowded and too many guys are going to get shots at it is all that it comes down to.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't make a call with confidence with any of them. I would only make that call if I had to.
Yeah, it's possible that it's him, but we won't get that clarity until like week 6 or 7. Like through the first 5 weeks, I wouldn't be surprised if 4 different running backs all have, you know, like 45 to 50 carries each. Like it's just this entire just mess of a backfield.
Yeah, and then at that time you're inserting Robert Turbin. So.
Oh my God, I forgot about Bobby T. Yeah, that after all that, Bobby T comes back, Mr. Turbin. So but you know what? I'm done talking about something dysfunctional. Let's talk about the Browns.
Yeah.
Steelers at Browns. What you looking for in this one, Mike?
One of the Browns not to get suspended. It's one of those games, the old fashioned 1954 type games that it's talks all history and it's historic, but it's going to be a historic probably blowout. As the Steelers are probably going to just dominate the Browns. If I'm watching this game, I'm definitely looking to see how bad Ben Roethlisberger does on away game, because he does historically bad on away games.
Yeah, he's pretty garbage, especially in Cleveland.
So that's going to be interesting. So I actually have him starting in like 2 of my leagues, but I don't have really much anybody else. So we'll see what happens. But I like the Browns. I just really do. I think that the defense is new and exciting. The offense is pretty new and exciting. But going against that defense, it's just going to be a hard victory. So we'll look to see Nick Chubb, see if how much game time he gets played.
Carlos Hyde starting off as the starter is interesting to say the least.
And there's very much similar back. So I don't know if Hyde is just trying to show the young rookie how to do it, or if Hyde is the better of the two by far and therefore is the most deserving.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, he looked much better in the preseason than Chubb did. So you can't say that this is a, hey, the rook has to earn it situation. It's the vet earned it. Sort of deal. So,
and he had a good preseason. I don't understand why so many people are down on Carlos Hyde. I can understand before last season when he wasn't catching that many passes and has been hurt, but last year he showed that he can catch passes and he does a good job running the ball. But you know, every year he gets a lot of flack.
Yeah, he has this label as being injury prone or a guy who doesn't fight through injuries. But, 49ers fan, I watched him. He missed, I think, 7 games in 2016 with a broken foot. But he played on the broken foot for 4 weeks. But all people see is that he missed 7 games with it. You know, he got put on IR and that was that. But dude's tough. He's a tough guy. He tries to play through it. So. Yeah. I think that's why people look away from him, is because they just look at how many games he's missed throughout his career.
Yeah, and once you get sort of that tag of being injury prone, then
it's really hard to shake it. It's exactly. Really hard to shake it.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So, from the man, you're on a roll here.
Yeah, I am.
You're talking, this is Mike's time to shine. We're going from an AFC North tilt to an AFC West tilt. We got the Young Gun Chiefs being hosted by the old man Chargers, who got the oldest old man back today, this week. They got Antonio Gates back in the building. So what are you looking for with Chiefs at Chargers? And I think I might know what you're looking for, but I'm curious.
Yeah, well, definitely the offense of the Kansas City Chiefs is going to be interesting, because how's Mahomes going to do? How's Sammy Watkins going to do? How's Tyreek Hill going to do now that he has a similar player playing on the opposite end of him in Sammy Watkins? Kareem Hunt, how's he going to do with both Damian Williams and Spencer Ware now taking time? So it's even though we know these players and we're familiar with who they are, it's a lot of how are they going to do, I think. And all that revolves around how is Patrick Mahomes going to do as basically a rookie this year. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that offense plays out. I'd start them all, unless you have, Drew Brees and Patrick Mahomes as your backup. But if you're streaming quarterbacks this year, Patrick Mahomes has I like this opportunity for him. Now with the Chargers, Phillip Rivers and Melvin Gordon are, of course, your key players there. Also Keenan Allen. And then also you have to look at Antonio Gates and Rivers and Gates. It's always been magical, especially down in that red zone area. So you can't really pass that up either.
That's a connection that predates the American Civil War, I think.
Yeah, right. It really does. It's been forever. And we were talking Mike Williams. I think Mike Williams and being someone special with Antonio Gates being gone, just because Williams' red zone targets would be increased.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think now with Gates being back? Is it just someone to fill in for a tight end spot, or do you see that Mike Williams still is going to have those opportunities?
I think he's going to have a lot less opportunity in the red zone. That was the big selling point on him this year, was no Antonio Gates. I think you do have to temper those expectations, but at the same time, he was a top 10 pick last year. I think he'll get more catches and yards than people think, but fewer touchdowns, like you said.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting how they're going to use Mike Williams this year. He didn't really do anything last year, so is he going to be someone that is deserving of that whatever seventh pick of the draft, or is he going to be another Cordell Patterson, Laquan Treadwell kind of player?
Yeah, and I mean, of course, this all goes up in the air when inevitably Keenan Allen gets hurt for the season in week six. So we all have to rejigger what we think about the Chargers offense then.
Yeah, that's something you can almost guarantee on. I mean, he stayed healthy last year, but I'd bet a lot of money on the fact that he won't stay healthy this year.
Yeah, but I a question for you. You think Pat Mahomes, you're not afraid of this Chargers defense? I mean, they had the pretty strong pass defense last year, and he is an interception prone quarterback. You think that Andy Reid can knock that out of him a little bit, scheme that out of him? You think that this isn't a matchup you're afraid of to start off with?
Not to start off with, just because of the fact that I think they're going to be conservative. I would really put Hunt in as a top guy this week, just because I think they're going to really utilize him as in drop-offs, those kind of things, until he sort of gets his feet wet. And this would be a perfect game to just sort of do that with. So I don't see him just throwing deep or throwing long passes very much at all. I think both Watkins and Hill are going to have very, very limited games this week.
Gotcha. Yeah, he's Kareem Hunt is going to do what I like to call doing the hard part for the quarterback. You dump it off to Kareem Hunt. He's the one who's bouncing off defenders and everything. And you threw the ball 3 yards, but he gets you 25 on that play.
Yeah, and he's very capable of doing that. And any time busting it to the house. So it's definitely going to be a Kareem Hunt show, I think, in week one.
Yeah, he's doing the hard part. So, all right, Mike, you got one more to talk about right now. Then you get to rest up a little bit. One more AFC West to talk about. You can talk about the trashy, terrible, garbage Seahawks hosted by the Denver Broncos. What are you looking for in this one?
You know, the Seahawks, of course, is what are they going to do? Is Chris Carson for real and Rashad Penny a bust? Or has this just been a magical show put on by the head coach? And that's going to be something that I'm totally looking into. My belief is that actually Chris Carson is who he says he is, and that Rashad Penny might be not that good. So we'll see there. Of course, Russell Wilson's going to do his thing. But they're sort of suffering on the offensive end, not only the offensive line, but they lost a lot of wide receivers too. So, and then I don't think Doug Baldwin's 100%. So that should be interesting to see how much they actually do run the ball, knowing that their weapons are limited and dealing with injury. So that part I'm definitely looking at as far as the Seahawks. And with the Broncos, you're going to see how good Case Keenum is. He's definitely one of those that you're streaming. And is he going to be someone that you want to keep looking at as a streamer, or someone that you just say, okay, well, yeah, he had a good year in Minnesota, but moving on. And that's going to affect, of course, Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders and those guys, but also their running back situation, just like Seattle Seahawks. You have Devontae Booker and Royce Freeman. So is the Rook going to be the opposite of Rashad Penny and be substantial and awesome, or is he going to be put behind Devontae Booker? I think Freeman is going to have a great year. I actually tweeted out before even preseason started that Freeman was going to have a better year than Saquon Barkley, so I'm standing by that.
Oh, wow. But, I mean, yeah, Freeman is talented, he is getting the first crack at it too. So that's a little bit different from the Penny situation. But I do like what you were saying about all the wider – the targets lost by the Seahawks, because they got to go somewhere. Those targets and air yards have to go somewhere. So they're not going to Brandon Marshall, I'll tell you that much.
No. I'm actually surprised Brandon Marshall actually even made the team. He looked awful last year. He looked so slow and just not anything near what he used to be. So I guess they're that desperate.
Yeah, they could be. So, all right, you can take a break. Take a rest. It's my turn to talk for a few games. You guys are stuck with me. Not going anywhere. Well, I guess not. You could just turn off the podcast, but please don't do that. Please don't do that. I can see when people stop listening to podcasts through Apple, so I'll know if you guys stopped.
We'll hunt you down.
Yeah, we'll find you. But the next game is America's team, which I guess you could call them that, being hosted by the Panthers. This is a game that I'm not too excited to watch. I'm not too excited about it at all. There's kind of not too much unknown. Other than what's going on with the Cowboys passing game. But, you know, trying to build a whole segment around if Michael Gallup's going to do what I think he's going to do, or if it's going to be Allen Hurns isn't all that exciting. What I am really interested to see is if the offensive line problems that the Panthers have had this preseason, if they just tank the team, if they're just going to take all of their fantasy football options, Christian McCaffrey, Cam Newton, Greg Olson, DJ Moore, Devin Funchess. If they're just going to tank all of them because they won't have the protection needed to move forward. So that's kind of what I'm watching for. And then also if Dak Prescott gets back to what he was when he had Zeke before, because last season I talked about his splits with and without Ezekiel Elliott are just completely bonkers.
That, you know, that's something I'm also interested in seeing too, is if Dak Prescott is for real or not. And if he continues like he did after Ezekiel left, then I don't know. White might be someone that they use before the end of the season.
I'm sorry, what? White?
Yeah, their backup quarterback.
Oh, okay. Sorry, you lost me there for a second. that
I've actually targeted in dynasty leagues. Just in case Prescott doesn't work out, he's someone that I think might have a good opportunity.
Wow. So you think Dak might be toast, huh?
It's hard to say that he's been in a toaster that long to be toast, but I think there's a good chance that lever stays down for quite a bit.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, that's something for you to watch for then. That's perfect. That's what we're talking about today. What we are watching for. So, I won't be watching Cowboys and Panthers, but a game that I might be forced to watch, given where I live, would be Washington, hosted by the Arizona Cardinals. What I'm watching in this one, a couple things. What the heck does the offense look like with Alex Smith? Because Alex Smith has certain trends that he seems to do everywhere. He boosts up your tight end, which they have one of the best ones in the league if he's healthy. Is he healthy? Is Jordan Reed actually able to play? A lot to watch there when Washington has the ball in terms of what Alex Smith's doing, where they're going, if Adrian Peterson has it, because if he doesn't have it, just pull the ripcord. Just don't even touch anybody in that backfield, because Adrian Peterson has marginal value, but Fat Rob isn't going to do anything. And I'm going to run back what I said. You can take Chris Thompson, but he's sort of a different beast. But Samaje Perine, don't touch him. Just stay away from the Washington backfield, except for Thompson, if Peterson doesn't seem to have it. That's what I'm watching for. And then on Arizona side, just like, is there anybody there other than Larry Fitzgerald and David Johnson? Is there anybody? Ricky Seals-Jones is a trendy sleeper. Sam Bradford has some two quarterback league potential, but I mean, Chad Williams is the number two. Is Christian Kirk going to do anything? Like, is there anything there? Is kind of what it is, just sort of like tapping on the glass and saying, hey, I see you, Larry Fitzgerald. I see you, David Johnson. You guys got any friends in there with you? That's sort of what I'm looking at in that game.
You know, I actually have both Fitzgerald and Johnson in my home league. I hope that's not going to torture my soul for this whole season.
Is it PPR?
Yes.
Oh, you'll be fine. Because, I mean, every team throws it at least 500 times, and given the talent distribution on that roster, you're looking at 400 targets between them. Obviously okay. Not 400, but but you're looking at, I mean, if you turned around and they had 260 between them, would you be that surprised? Like 150 to Fitz and 110 to David Johnson?
No, not at all. I think that's pretty reasonable, actually.
Yeah, so if that's what you're starting with in a PPR, that's I think you'll be okay.
Now with Adrian Peterson, what is your take? Do you think that he's going to be someone that they rely on, or do you think he's going to be pretty much the way he was with Arizona and New Orleans?
I think that he is toast.
There's
not a lot to say there. I think he had one good run in the preseason, but I mean, I was there when he toasted the Niners for like 107 yards last year or something like that. But it took him 60,000 carries to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just not Adrian Peterson anymore. No disrespect to the career that he had, but I mean, Father Time comes for us all. So it's one of those situations where I just think his time has come.
I agree. I totally agree.
Yeah. So everybody's done. They got their morning game done. They got their afternoon game done. Take a little break. You know, you relax. You go, man, am I really going to watch the third football game today? You go, yeah, I'm going to watch the third football game today. And it's Sunday Night Football, Bears at Packers, a matchup that got insanely juicier with the Khalil Mack trade. The Khalil Mack trade was the hugest story of the last couple of months, right up until, I mean, of all preseason, it was anything that happened in preseason paled in comparison to Khalil Mack getting traded. And then that just got tossed aside for the Le'Veon Bell stuff. So not super fantasy relevant unless you're in IDP league. I mean, the Bears, it's not going to change too much for them as a DST. So that's not really what I'm looking for in this one. What I'm looking for is what's going on with the Packers wide receivers. Is Jamal Williams going to grab onto this this running back one role in Green Bay and run with it, pun intended? Because I'm a huge Geronimo Allison proponent. I'm surprised Randall Cobb still is a Green Bay Packer. So that's kind of what I'm watching for. And then on the Bears side, I mean, it's pretty clear. It's everything's new there on offense. I'm watching everything. What's Trubisky doing? What's Jordan Howard doing? What's Tre Cohen doing? What's Allen Robinson doing? What's Trey Burton doing? You know, everybody that's there, it's going to be a question mark. So I'm watching pretty much everything on offense with the Bears.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be really interesting to see exactly how Mitch Trubisky performs. Is he going to be sort of like the Alex Smith, the conservative guy, or is he going to be break out of that and put his talents all together? So I'm interested in seeing how he plays against, you know, a good defense of Green Bay. They got solid linebackers and defensive backs.
It felt like they, you know, in the first 40 picks, they drafted like 12 DBs, it felt like. I know it's not like that, but it felt like they were just picking up guys left and right in the draft to bolster this defense. So I'm curious what it's going to be like, especially now that Dom Capers isn't there anymore. So he's not there to screw up the scheming of the talent.
Yeah, and that's going to be really important.
Yeah, so, all right, so we get the special double dip on Monday Night Football every year. It was nice when it was the Niners because we got to go to games at 7 o'clock at night, which was really interesting to do. Yeah. It was fun because it was sort of like I'm used to it from baseball and from going to Kings games. You know, getting out at 10 o'clock at night it's pretty fun. Now, I wouldn't want to live on the East Coast to watch this game starting at 10 o'clock.
Right.
The Rams and Raiders, the game you're going to talk about, but I wouldn't want to watch this first game either. Jets at Lions.
Yeah.
I just, you know, for the Jets side, I guess Crowell or Powell, Inunua or Robbie Anderson. There's not a lot of Sam Darnold. It's not exciting. They're all low level, options, for fantasy on the Jets side. On the Lions side, you got a much more high octane offense. What I'm looking for there is, are they really going to let LeGarrette Blount be their running back one all year? What's Kerryon Johnson going to be doing? Why is Ameer Abdullah still on the roster? Is Theo Riddick going to just come in and be annoying and somehow catch six passes a game for 16 yards, be a PPR monster but do nothing in standard? Like, what's that running back room really going to look like when the cameras are on, you know, in prime time? That's what I'm curious about. That's what I'm going to be watching for on Monday Night Football this week.
Now make the call between Kerryon Johnson and LeGarrette Blount. Who's going to be the number one back this week, and who do you see ending up as the number one back
this week? I think it's going to be LeGarrette Blount. The Jim Bob Cooter, the offensive coordinator, said he's going to let talent dictate how many touches Kerryon Johnson gets. Kerryon Johnson's the most talented running back they have there. Kerryon Johnson's the most talented running back they've had there since Reggie Bush. So for the rest of the season, I'm going to go with Kerryon Johnson. For game one, I'm going to go with LeGarrette Blount just because he's the vet. He gets the first crack at it. He's going to blah, 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 even though he's bad. But by week three or four, I think Kerryon Johnson's going to take over.
Yeah, it's just going to be really interesting to see, especially because Kerryon Johnson can be an all multi-purpose back. I'm pretty excited to see that take shape. But with all those other running backs that catch the ball, it's sort of going to minimize the whole Kerryon Johnson situation. So I don't know. I like it and I don't at the same time.
I don't think it's going to return a lot on investment in the first quarter of the season, but it was a cheap investment. I just think that I think I explained it here that over the last few years, the Lions have had a really good running back, but they would have to like Voltron him together, or, you know, yeah, Power Rangers Megazord. Cause you had
right.
really good pass catcher in Theo Riddick. You had, you know, bulldozer in Zach Zenner. They had, you know, your sort of a shifty back who went down with a light breeze in Amir Abdullah. And then they had sort of like a garbage all-purpose back with Washington. So it was like, if you could just like mash them all together into one running back, that'd be a really good running back. And I think that that's what they did with Kerryon Johnson.
Yeah, exactly. Kerryon Johnson is the mold or the mesh of all of them.
Yeah. So I'm done. I'm done. Talked about all my games. Now you can talk about two teams that, as a 49ers fan, I hate them both. I'm rooting for Team Meteor. Meteor hits Oakland Coliseum. Already kind of looks like a meteor hit it, if we're being honest. It's going to be the Rams at the Raiders.
Oh boy. There's not really a whole lot to say about this game, just because there's a lot of talent on the Rams, but it's going to be so spread thin. I don't know if Brandon Cooks is going to be the leading receiver, because you have Cooper Kupp and whoever else there that is also viable as receivers. And then the running back, of course, Melvin Gordon, who
Todd Gurley.
Well, I said Melvin Gordon.
Come on. We've only been talking for an hour straight. It's not like your brain can be fried.
a lot of Todd Gurley fans just turned me off right now.
Yeah. Right.
Todd Gurley, who could probably end up being the number one back of all of fantasy football. And he's your main guy of both teams. There's really nobody else that's going to put up the points that Todd Gurley is going to do. Just out of curiosity, was Todd Gurley your number one?
No, actually, I had my number one was actually David Johnson. Todd Gurley was actually, I can't remember if I had him at two or three. I know I kept going back and forth between him and Zeke Elliott. It's just pure regression. He scored, I believe it was 5 touchdowns in the last 2 weeks. Might have been 6 touchdowns. Before that, he was being outscored on a per game basis by Ezekiel Elliott. And the last time we saw David Johnson, he was scoring more points per game than Todd Gurley did all of last year. So yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, I can see people putting him number one just because that's what happens. The number one pick is always the running back who had the best year the year before. It happens every single year.
Oh, absolutely.
It happens every single year. But I think that had David Johnson not gotten hurt, he would have been the number one back again. So I went with David Johnson.
Yep, I agree. I totally agree with that. You know what's interesting with the Rams and the Raiders is the last 3 seasons, not too many points have been scored. 2015, Raiders won 18-3. 2017, 24-21. And then, this year is also probably going to be a low-scoring game as well. I don't know. The Vegas is saying it's going to be low scoring. I don't know how low scoring it's going to be, but we'll see. And then, is Derek Carr going to be any good? How's Marshawn Lynch going to be? They're sort of the old side of football, where the Rams are the new side. So if you're a dynasty guy, then you're definitely going to be looking at the Rams. If you're a redraft guy, you're probably more so going to look at the Raiders side of the game. And Amari Cooper, I forgot about Amari Cooper. I think he's going to be a bust, where Jordy Nelson is going to be the guy there.
So, question for you.
Uh-huh.
Put yourself in somebody's shoes. It is a dynasty startup draft. You're drafting tonight. Does a Raider other than Amari Cooper go in the first 10 rounds? Because even Derek Carr, he's young, but he's not that exciting in fantasy.
Right. No. The answer to that is no. They're old. And Derek, like you said, Derek Carr might be the only one that has a chance, but he's just being soured on, and I think unfairly. And I think he's going to be something this year, where he's going to be a top 12 quarterback, I believe.
Oh wow, yeah, he could be. Here, let's make Derek Carr feel better. We called it 2 quarterback dynasty league. Then he goes in the top 10 rounds.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah.
All right, there we go. Much better. All right. So I guess what we have is with Rams and Raiders is we have the old and busted versus the new hotness, which is ironic because John Gruden's supposed to be the new guy this year, but he, he wants to go back to the leather helmet days. It sounds like.
How do you get rid of Mac? I still am dubious about that situation.
I mean, it sounded like they had cash flow problems, but that's honestly an excuse, and it's an issue that's born out of, you know, giving Jordy Nelson the contract he got, giving all the guys that they gave, you know, the old guys, overinflated contracts. If you have a cash problem, there's the source for your cash problem. They traded Mac and a second, and they got two firsts. And if you think about it, a Bears first round pick versus what a Raiders second round pick is going to be. So they traded a first, and they're going to move back like 16 picks or something. It's like, or move up 16 picks with that second one. It's just, it's absurd. There's almost no chance that they win the trade, because to win the trade, they need to get a player as good as Mac with one of those first round picks. And they have to draft better than the Bears with that, with the pick that they essentially swapped, the first and second rounder. So it's like, come on, guys. And then I hear people talking about, oh, well, you know, then you can go sign two players for $10 million a year. It's like, well, that's great. But, you know, signing bad players for $8, $9, $10 million a year is what got you in this mess to begin with.
Right.
It's just absurd. And I don't know what it's going to do to his players this year. Like, the team's not going to be good till they're in Vegas at this point. So it's like, what are we doing in Oakland? Like, what's the point there?
It's almost like the guy that ran the Warriors into the ground came over to the Raiders and is doing the same exact thing.
Can he go back to the Warriors?
I know you'd like that quite a bit.
I love that. Freaking Warriors. All right. So that's done it. Mike, we're here. It's the regular season. It's 7:46 p.m., which means in 24 hours, the game will be coming close to being done. We'll probably be in the third quarter going, oh, my gosh, is Nick Foles this bad?
And I'll probably be right there with you agreeing, because I think Nick Foles, he had a great season last year. But, yeah, making it two years in a row, or even an extra game in a row is going to be interesting.
It's going to be iffy. So, all right, guys, thanks for listening this week. We'll talk to you again next week. It's going to be pretty much every Wednesday night now, so we can do a full preview of the week. So thanks for listening, everybody, and have a great week one.
See, I drive the new hotness. Old and busted, new hotness. Old busted hotness.